Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Open our eyes, open our hearts, help us to seek after you. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about being ambassadors for the Lord, witnesses for the Lord. Amen. Reconcilers. Who's a reconciler in here? Amen. You want to help reconcile people back to God. And really, that's the key, isn't it? That they need to be made right with God, every single person. And in order to be made right with God, there's what? One way, and that's through Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to read just it's not too long. I think I can read the whole passage in Jonah chapter 4. I just want to read. I'll read the whole thing. Well, I think I'll just start in verse 9. I'll just start in verse 9 and finish up here through 11. But it says here, then God said to Jonah, here's what happened first. Jonah goes to Nineveh. And he finally gets to Nineveh. First, he's running from God, right? And then most of us have heard this story, but he's running from God. And finally, he gets thrown overboard, and the fish, great big fish, swallows him up. And perhaps he even died, you know. We don't know for sure, but he was in there 3 days and three nights. Jesus said, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, I will be in the bowels of the earth. And so there he was, and finally he's running off to Tarshish, but he is supposed to be over Nineveh. And so finally the whale spits him up out on the shore, and I'm sure he was quite a sight to see. And he walks and gives his message throughout the city of Nineveh. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. You know, and so that's his message. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's all he's supposed to say. So he goes about doing that. And of course, the people decide they're going to fast, and they cry out to God, and the king declares a fast. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything, don't feed your animals. Even their animals fasted, and they sought after God. And of course, God relented. It says in chapter 3, verse 10, God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But here's Job, okay? He's there, and now he became angry. He was upset. He's upset with God. God says, Jonah, why do you have, do you have a right to be upset? Do you have a right to be angry? He thinks he does. Because he says, I knew that's what you were going to do, God. And he's not happy about it. But then it says here, down here in verse 9, it says, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about, okay, he causes a plant to grow up over him and bring him shade even after all this. And God says, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? He said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Shouldn't I save that city? In other words, my point here is that Jonah was upset about a nation turning to God. Jonah valued a gourd which grew over him to bring him shade more than he did the people. He valued that plant more than he did the people. Jonah needed a heart change, didn't he? Of course, he was under the old covenant, but God had called him. He was a prophet of God, and he did say and do what God said finally after some coercing. But here we see his heart. And I want us to realize, and I want you to understand, and that we need to be a witness for God. We got to understand people are valuable. People are valuable. God was here. He said, shouldn't I have pity on the city? There's 120. They don't know me. They didn't know God. They're in rebellion, but they found out. They said, hey, when they heard the word, they repented. They turned to God in fasting and prayer, said, Lord, be merciful. Do you understand Nineveh was saved from judgment for over 100 years? It was 100 years before anything ever came again. And so we have to realize to separate, you know, we have to separate sin from the person, don't we? You know, we can't judge them, and we have to honor and have a love of God in our heart. We must reach out to everyone, whoever they are. Whether they have AIDS, whether they're on drugs, whether they're up and out, down and out, old, young, blind, maimed, whatever it is. Maybe they're homeless, maybe they stink. We need to love people. Everyone. And if we don't go, who else is going to go? Who's going to go? You know, I mean, I understand it's important. Jesus preached and ministered in the synagogues and in the churches about 52 times. He ministered outside of that about 164 times. Much more he did ministry outside than he did within. His ministry really took place out there. They heard about him and began to follow him. They began to hear, and he proclaimed God's love. He proclaimed it. And we need to realize that every person is valuable and precious to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Everybody says, I know these verses. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. I hope they're getting in your heart more and more. If you know them, it won't hurt you to read them one more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How many have the Holy Spirit in you? Hallelujah. Then the love of God's in you. You know, and everybody says, well, why aren't we seeing everybody just love one another? Good question. Why not? That sometimes we let that love, it can be in there and be dormant, can't it? It can be there, not benefit us. We have to let that love come in. We have to let God love us, number one, and we have to begin to act in love and walk in that and let God's love compel us. For when we were still without strength, verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, how many are glad you've been reconciled to God? See, we see that word again, don't we? Part of that reconciliation that we're a part of. We each have a ministry. Everybody put their hand on their heart. I have a ministry to reconcile people back to God. That's my first ministry. Amen. For all of us. That's right. It's our first call. The first call of every believer is to what? Be a witness. To be a testimony. To let your light what? Shine. We're not supposed to hide it under the bushel. We're not ashamed of the gospel. But we're glad to proclaim it. And we need to realize God loves what? The worst sinner. The greatest saint. Equally. Doesn't he? God does. Yeah. And sometimes we've been guilty of, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I judge, we judge the saints, you know. Maybe we shouldn't so much, but sometimes we have judgments in our heart. We need to ask God, forgive us, Lord. You know, maybe we think that person can't be saved. Oh, they've gone too far. There's no place too late. There is nothing. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom. She said, there's no valley that's so deep that Christ's love cannot reach. She was in the camps where they were, you know, during World War II. She served in those camps where they tortured people and killed them. And many times they saw their own family killed. They didn't think anything of it. Soldiers had been trained by Hitler, so forth. If you've got a death nature, you can go pretty far. It didn't even bother them. I'll just shoot that person. Okay. They just shoot them. No big deal. Make them work. Give them hardly any food. But we have to love people, period. Not based on performance. Because we need to believe, you and I, you can reach anyone. Yes, you can. Believe that. I can minister. You know, yeah, there's people around you. There may be certain ones that are easier, but you can touch anybody. Hospitals we have. We've got nursing homes. There's neighbors around, friends. What else we got? We got, people everywhere we go, don't we? How many have to get out in the street? You know, you've got to go to the grocery store, right? You've got somebody where you shop. Maybe you go to the same lane every time. And you know Jane that waits on you. You know, you need to, we can befriend people. We can become a witness to them little by little. You know, especially if you see it more than once, you know. You go to your bank, you know. Hey, Jesus loves you, you know. You can bank on it. Ha, ha, ha. Make it known, you know. Let Jesus be known. We need to touch everybody, don't we, in each sector of society. We have people that are young, old, middle-aged, up and out, down and out. All people are important to God. That's why when we say St. Thomas is saved, we're not talking about, you know, the ground that we walk on, are we? No, we're talking about the people that are here. People make up cities. If there's nobody that lived in St. Thomas, we wouldn't be a town or city, would we? No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't be saying, well, St. Thomas is saved. There's nobody there. There's no reason there. God is after hearts of people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We can go and we can help one another. And we can, as we go, we can identify where people are. Begin to listen and hear. If you listen long enough, people will give you the key to their heart. I believe that. They'll tell it to you. It'll eventually come forth. We can get out there and we can talk to people. Everywhere we go, we have opportunity. We have places. We can listen. Listen to God. Listen to people. Hear their heart. God bleeds. He is looking to change lives. Some people have been saved, but they're not walking with God. They need to come back to God. They need you to pray for them, to minister to them, to lead them, to guide them, to encourage them, strengthen them. You know, most people, I wouldn't say everybody, but you ask them, can I pray for you? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, maybe they mean, you know, if you think of them as you go about your day, but you just, you know, you just pray for them right then. You know, and, you know, God can do things. I've led people to the Lord. They didn't really want to pray and receive Jesus. But I said, can I pray for you? Sure, it would be all right. Can I just take you by the hand and pray for you? Maybe it's a lady or a guy, you know, just put your hand on their shoulder. Now, Father, I take authority over all the cobwebs of their mind, everything in them, in the name of Jesus, Father. And next thing you know, they want to pray and receive Jesus. I said, oh, come on. Yeah, that's right. Just say it out loud. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. You can do it. You know what to do, right? We'll get to the right message at some point here, but we've got the right message. You've been saved, right? Who in here has been saved? You've got a testimony. Well, I got saved when I was just a baby. Well, praise the Lord. You know, you're just a little child. That's great. It's one of the greatest testimonies. got saved, lived for him all my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. You have a testimony. But the whole point is that we are what? Witnesses of who we know. When we know him, it's easy to testify, isn't it? Because we see who he is. What's a testimony? What's a witness? Somebody that's seen something. Have you seen Jesus? You've experienced something. You can talk about it. You can talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get faith for it. Amen. And believe God. Start saying it's easy to win people to Jesus. Amen. Let's make that our motto. You know, just say it to yourself. It's easy to win people to Jesus. There you go. Good. Amen. You can do that a little louder. It's easy to win people to Jesus because God loves them. They're valuable. I see them as valuable. And we got to get our mind thinking, you know, on him. He said, what perfect peace. And really, it's out of the overflow of our relationship with him, isn't it? You know, now we're supposed to be, and I hope you all are. I know you are, those that come to prayer, but you know, you're praying in the Spirit every day. Spend a little time praying in tongues, talking to the Lord, meditating on the Word. Amen. Glory to God. We've got some tracts back here on the table. If you don't know what to say, just read it to somebody. It's not hard. Just a few scriptures in there. I don't make it, you know. I wrote it that way on purpose so that it's, because a lot of times people, they don't want to read it. You know, they might not read a whole book, but they may read a little tract. And at least it puts a seed of the Word of God in their heart. You know, they know that God loves them. You know, sin is the problem. Most people know they're sinners, but sin has a wage. They don't know that. The wages of sin is what? Death or separation from God. But praise the Lord. We have a ministry of reconciliation, and we can love people. Let's see. Where did I write that down? 2 Corinthians 5:14. Yeah, I'm coming close. Where am I? Oh, my. Okay. My last scripture right here. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I can't believe how fast 20 minutes goes. 5:14. It is, says here, for the love of Christ, hallelujah, compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. It is God's love that's already in us that compels us, or we could say constrains us. It compels us. It begins to motivate us. It begins to drive us to see others. As we know God and he loves us and we love him, the more we fall in love with God, we should be loving other people. We love one another in the body of Christ, but we also to love what? Our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know many of you do, but there's opportunities. And it says in Ephesians, we're to make the most of every opportunity. There's opportunities that we each have every day to plant a seed. Who brings the harvest? God. Amen. We saw that earlier, but we could look at it again. But we won't look at it right now. I've got to get my time. So, but anyway, next time maybe we'll look at that. But one plants, another waters, but it is who gives the increase? God. He does the saving. He's the one that does the regenerating, the saving of the heart, and moves in, and he brings that about. But we are the ones that plant the seed. In other words, we give out the seed of what? The Word of God. I like to give people, and sometimes I'll take them, if I got a little Bible with me, you know, I let them see it in the Bible. Right here. Here's what God says. I know a lot of people don't believe the Bible, but when you preach the Word, the Bible says, God said, it is the foolishness of preaching that draws men to him. Or proclaiming, we could say, or sharing. And it isn't, you know, we don't have to tell them they're a sinner. Most people, you know, you don't know me, I'm a sinner, you know. You don't know what I've done. I remember one guy I really liked the guy. I don't know why. I was just drawn to him. And he used to throw the newspaper out, and he'd tell me, God could never forgive him. He said, you just don't know what I've done. I said, oh, it doesn't. The good thing is, it doesn't matter what we've done, does it? His love, the Bible says, while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. This is good news. You know, it's the saddest thing when you think about it. There's sinners around us. There's people around that don't know that they can be saved. They don't know the good news. Yet the price for them has already been paid. Sin is really not the big problem. Jesus took the sin. He said, he didn't just take it on him. He said, the sin of the whole world. The Bible says, the sin of the whole world was on him. So let's be mindful. Let's be thinking about people and praying for them. You know, if you have some people in your family even and others that you're around, you might think about getting your little, maybe your 10 most wanted list out. Amen. Who do I know? You know, get your 10 most wanted out. Lord, this person, oh, he's really a sinner. We really need to pray for him. Well, you know, amen. He comes to Jesus, he won't be. Even Saul, you know, who became the Apostle Paul, was a terrible sinner. Brought rest in the city when he got saved. Woo! To the church. They were so excited. They had been praying for him for a while. Believe me, I'm sure they prayed for him. And then, of course, Stephen prayed for him, didn't he, when he was being stoned. And all the coats were laid at a man named Saul. Hallelujah. Gave God enough authority to come and minister to him and shine the light of the gospel to him, that bright light of Jesus. Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the pricks? Hallelujah. How many think we need a few more Saul conversions? Amen. Where God so comes, or what about they run into you and your light shines so bright? They say, what is that that's on you? What do you have? I need that peace. I need that joy. I need God. I need what you have. And you say, it's Jesus. Whatever it is, he must be Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.